2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12. If you have it, can you say amen? The Bible says, "Then David took hold on his clothes, and he rent them, he tore them, and likewise all the men that were with him, those soldiers that were with them, and they mourned and wept and fasted until the evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord, for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword." Now you have to understand there is a battle that has taken place. And in the midst of this battle that's taken place, Saul and Jonathan have died in this battle. But not only that, David also mentions for the house of Israel, because they were that were fallen by the sword. That were so many thousands of soldiers that had fallen and died in combat that day alone because of the battle that was taking place. And then if you will, just look over at verse 19 to echo the words of David again when he says this: "The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high place." How are the mighty fallen? How are the mighty fallen? Just to look at this battle and relate it just for a moment, if we will, as we think about and as we honor those that have given their lives for our freedom and our liberty. It is because they gave their lives that you are here this morning. That was pathetic. Because they gave their lives, you are here this morning. I know that Christ ultimately gave His life, but a soldier in army stripes and battle clothes died so that you could have the freedom and the liberty to worship Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want to just share with you just for a few moments this morning a message based off Memorial Day, just entitled, "Remember and Heal and Unite." Remember, heal, and unite. Heavenly Father, we just magnify You and give You all the glory. God, we pray in the name of Jesus right now, God, that You will just minister, O Lord God. Father, we pray for the families across this land, O God, this great country of ours, Father God, and we pray in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, that You will minister to those families who have lost loved ones in the Iraq war and in other previous wars in our history, O God. War is a gruesome and a horrific thing, God, but Father God, we thank You for the freedom that we have, O Lord God, and the liberty that we have, Lord God. Father, we pray once again that You will just take the words, O God, and minister this morning to Your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the house said, amen. Praise God. Again, in this battle that we are looking at in the text of 2 Samuel chapter 1, the death toll is not given. It is not known at this point in time. I tried to look through a few commentaries, and Brother Anthony, you'll know this as good as I can, that some commentaries just ain't got nothing about what you need. So we don't know that necessarily the death toll that was taking place in this battle that was going on, all except the fact that we do know that Saul died and Jonathan died. But here is the midst of what he says, and I believe there again we can echo this when he says, the beauty of Israel are slain and how the mighty are fallen. There again, we remember the those that have fallen and have given their lives for the cost of freedom. Number one, we need to look at this thing of remembering. It's not a pretty thing. No, we love to remember good things. We love to remember birthdays, and well, some of us do. We love to remember anniversaries, hopefully, and good things that have happened in our lives. But none of us like to remember the bad and the negative thing. No one wants to remember those that have fallen. In fact, that's why a lot of times Memorial Day has turned into what it has become. Because no one wants to take time to remember, because it is a sad occasion. But David takes the time. In fact, he takes all day. He tears his clothes, which is a natural Israel daily thing in that time. He tears his clothes and as a sign of mourning, and he goes into fasting. Now that would be totally reversed to what we understand Memorial Day to be, because we understand that somebody somewhere tomorrow is going to be on a grill. I ain't, because I ain't got one anymore. But somewhere somebody's going to be on a grill and cooking out. But in this time, because of so many that had died in the war and died in the battle, and because, number one, because of Saul and because of Jonathan, they tore their clothes and they fasted until evening as they were mourning and remembering the loss. Now you've got to understand something. Saul at this point in time in the battle is David's enemy. I mean, Saul numerously, repeatedly trying to kill David over and over again. Yet David still looked at him as the Lord's anointed. He still looked at him as the one whom God had placed in authority, and he grieved and he mourned over the loss of his enemy. I wonder if that could ring true to any of our Christian values this morning when the Bible says that we are to love our enemies and to love those that persecute us. I know, and I'm not saying that we ought to grieve the loss of Saddam Hussein, or if somebody should ever finally catch Osama bin Laden, that we should grieve the loss of him or not. But I wonder how many of us have taken the time for a moment to say, God, to bend the knee and say, God, find him and deal with his heart and change it. Don't you believe it can happen? Don't you believe that Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And if he can save someone like Saul of Tarsus, who was a murderer, surely he can save somebody who's a dictator and a murderer and a vile individual like Osama bin Laden. Amen. I don't know necessarily that he will, but he can. Amen. Here is the thing. That Jonathan, even though he was Saul's son, David had developed a brotherly kinship. In fact, the Bible says that their souls were knit together. They were fit together, if you will. It was a brotherly kind of kinship. So remembering this was difficult. There again, if you'll think about the Civil War, the old saying about the Civil War was the fact that brother was against brother. I mean, literally, you had brothers split and part ways because one was south and the other was north. And brother killed brother over those things that they were fighting about in the Civil War. They mourned and they grieved. Watch this, because there again, as I said before, it seems like every patriotic day, Flag Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, we want to call the veterans up and please stand and say, veterans, stand and let's honor you. And that's fine. Veterans should be honored. Our veterans should be honored. But for a moment, can we set aside the veterans just for a moment, because this is Memorial Day, and somewhere there's somebody laying in a field somewhere that's dead. A mother's son will never come back to her. A wife will never hear her husband say, I love you. A child will never be comforted by her father again, because they died so that you and I could have freedom and liberty to worship God. That's what we ought to thank God for this morning. Amen. We ought to thank God because those that have given their lives. I love, there again, history. I love the fact that the Revolutionary War, there's a wonderful book it's titled 1776, because although our country was founded and the principles were there in the Declaration of Independence, how many of you understand that July 4th, 1776 did not end the war? In fact, it began the war because of a Declaration of Independence that says we're not any longer going to be subjected under the Church of England, and we're not going to be any more subjected under these things. It began the war, and bloodshed and all kinds of things happened. Disease and famine happened throughout that war. But why? Because they were fighting for freedom. They were fighting for freedom. And you need to understand something. America has its flaws. Her morality is going downhill by the moment. Every passing moment, America's morality is going downhill. But I still can't help but think. I got up this morning. I got in my car. I first put my Sunday best on. I tried to. And I got in my car and I drove to Harkers Island Pentecostal Holiness Church. I came in without any kind of guarded support or help. I didn't have to have somebody surrounding me. There are no military guards at the door. There's no one there trying to come and take away my liberty. I'm still preaching out of the same old-fashioned book that they used way back when. Why? Because we live in America and somebody died for your freedom so that you could come in and work. Worship God so that you could have the freedom and the liberty to worship God. Not only do we need to remember, and as I hasten, we need to heal. We need to heal. There are so many tragedies and situations that have happened. And I'm just going to read you just a few of the tragedies that have happened. Now, you've got to understand, Memorial Day was originally created as a day to remember those who had given their lives in civil war. There again, to those who died in civil war to unite this country together. And in that war, there was a total death toll of 1,030,000 people that died so that you could sit here and not be north and not be south. I know we live in the God, the blessed country and the blessed place of North Carolina, which is a part of the good old-fashioned South. I know we do, but we don't. In fact, my home state was the first to recede and to declare. I mean, it was the one that started the whole thing. My home state. I'm kind of proud of it, and I'm kind of ashamed of it all at the same time. I don't know what to do. But can I tell you that they died so that we can sit here and not be white America or black America or Hindu America, but that we can be Americans who worship God together. That we could be American. The 9/11 attacks that happened when they flew the planes into the buildings and many others that died as a result of it is upward somewhere around 2,700 people died in that thing. I know China is not a part of our blessed country, but the China earthquakes, if you've been keeping up with the news, at least 55,000 plus people have died. Tell me that Jesus ain't coming soon. The cyclone that happened in Myanmar, which is present day, used to be Burma, is up to now 100,000 people that have died. The Iraq war that we are so aggressively keeping contrast with. 4,000 soldiers have died so that no more planes could be flown into buildings for your freedom. Because who knows? Because this is a holy war. You do understand that, right? This is what they call a jihad, a holy war. And who knows that instead of flying it into Twin Towers in New York City, they could be flying it into church buildings. But I haven't seen a one flying them yet. Why? Because there are, I know that war is awful and war is horrific, but they're fighting for our freedom. They're fighting for our freedom. Oh, Hurricane Katrina, there again, something that gets so misused and abused. But there are 1,800 people that have died. We need healing in this land. We need healing in this land. The outbreak of tornadoes. 100 people have died in these tornadoes in just 2008 alone. 100 doesn't sound too much, but when you compare over the years, 100 people is a lot that have died. We need healing. We need healing in this land when the greatest of these people won't even acknowledge. And that is the American Holocaust. And that is when 49, not 1,000, not 100,000, 49 million plus babies have been aborted in this country. We need healing. We need healing. In fact, I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because of the exactness of the number. I checked the number, the death toll of the aborted babies last night around 8:45 p.m. and it's 49,076,219. I checked this morning at 8:45 a.m. and he has gone up 1,803. While you slept, and you woke up, babies were being killed. Doctors, lawyers, servicemen, preachers, evangelists, someone that could have the cure for AIDS, someone that could have the cure for cancer, was wiped out of this life without ever getting a chance. Preacher, why are you telling me this? Because we need you. We need you this land. We need God to heal this land. And I know, again, as we focus on Memorial Day and it focuses on those who have died in war and in combat for this country, but may I tell you, all across this land, signs are happening that Jesus is coming back, and we need people, we need healing in this land. Souls that need to come to know Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. If you're lost in this place, you need Jesus Christ to save you, because the signs are evident that Christ is coming back. And he's coming back. How do we get healing? It is only through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus that we can find healing. Number three is a difficult one. Number three, we need to remember, we need to heal, but then we need to unite. We need to bring this nation together. That's a difficult thing. Why is it a difficult thing? Because the gospel is naturally divisive. You tried living it recently? Have you tried preaching it recently? The gospel is naturally divisive. Can I tell you, we can see this, and I'm sure, and I ain't going to call any names, because you've seen in the headlines and the news, you know that the gospel is naturally divisive. When two pastors are shunned because of pro-Israel and anti-Islamic comments that were made, two pastors were openly shunned and put away by a presidential candidate because of it, because the gospel is by the way, they're called controversial pastors. If that's the case, I'm a controversial pastor. If that's the case, you're a controversial people. Because if anybody takes this book and lives it and preaches it the way it ought to be lived and it ought to be preached, and if we get up there and we talk about the fact that homosexuality is a sin, which it is, That adultery is a sin, which it is. That abortion is a sin, which it is. That the Muslim religion will take you to hell, which it will. Then we're controversial. But bless God, it's the gospel. And I'll stand by it until the day I die. That is, it is a controversial issue. In fact, Jesus said that the gospel will so cut into your life that it will separate mother against son and father against daughter. But for a moment, can we not necessarily set aside the truth of the gospel, but just to set aside for a moment the divisiveness of the gospel, so that we can explain why we need to remember and to celebrate Memorial Day. Number one, we need to celebrate Memorial Day. When I saw the books, I thought maybe you were going to do that song of the salute to the armed soldiers again. But when we celebrate the Memorial Day, we need to understand that because of the existing branches, the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Air Force, and the Marines, because of the existing branches right now, functioning right now, you have freedom. We need to remember Memorial Day because you have freedom. There again, you didn't have to come to church with a police escort. We didn't have to have service, this great Pentecostal service that we're having. We didn't have to have it like they have it in China with an underground church living somewhere. You better not take your liberties and your freedoms for granted, because men and women that are defending our country right now are living and dying so that you can be free.
so that you can worship God. But then watch this. Again, as I said earlier, not only are there those living, but there are those that died so that you... Now listen, I don't mean to pick on anybody because I do the same thing. My wife will tell you that I do the same thing sometimes. And that is, I know how we come into church. We come into church and oh, my back hurts. And oh, I've got this problem and that problem and I've got this ache and that ache. But do you realize somewhere lying in the field, whether in this soil or on a foreign soil, which, by the way, they were reported as being missing in action, that somebody died and couldn't get up this morning to come to church. I think we need to be thankful to God that we have the liberty and the freedom. Lastly, how can we bring our nation together? How can we do it? The only way to do it is to preach Christ. The only way to do it is to share the love of Jesus Christ. I know that we can, now sometimes we can make it divisive on our own. Because the minute we start walking up to people and saying, you're going to burn in hell, then it becomes divisive. But if I go up to you and I start preaching the love of Jesus and the mercy of God and the grace of God, who knows but what a soul might come to the kingdom and to the knowledge of Christ. Who knows if you go and you minister to some of these soldiers instead of talking about them and gossiping about them and saying they shouldn't be over there to start with, why don't you write them a thank you note and thank God for them and say, I just want to let you know, I thought I'd drop a few lines just to let you know, thank you for fighting for my freedom. Thank you for doing what you do so that I can be free. Thank you for letting me come this morning to the Harker's Island Pentecostal Holiness Church to worship God Almighty. Instead of doing that other stuff, we need to share the love of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Those death tolls that I gave you, there's no telling how many were saved and how many were lost. And I don't want to paint a morbid picture for you, even for those that are fighting for our freedom. But if they die without Christ, they will find themselves in an out of place of outer darkness called hell. What a better opportunity, and what a wonderful opportunity it could be for us to drop them a line and say, I can't be where you're at, but I thank God that you're fighting for my freedom. Amen. Who knows? Before a soldier goes out and he gives his life for your sake and for this country, he will have given his life to Jesus Christ. And he will have died not only for the honor of his country, but he will have died knowing Christ Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. Stand with me.